As you are probably aware, particularly if you have any American friends or relatives, this week being the fourth Thursday in November, America celebrates Thanksgiving. Now, this particular remembrance is a big deal to the American people. Now, this week, Emma and myself had the opportunity to have a Thanksgiving dinner and with some friends of ours. Some of these friends are very passionate about Thanksgiving, and we got to witness some of the American Thanksgiving traditions. And my favorite, of course, was the food. Now, they had vegetables cooked in sugar with marshmallows on top, you know, simply amazing. And I now understand the American obesity epidemic quite well. In being involved within this Thanksgiving celebration, it made me think about what am I thankful for. And the more that I thought about this, I realized that giving thanks was something that I need to do a lot more of, particularly when it comes to God. You know, often I fail to be thankful daily despite the countless blessings that God pours upon me. I often take this for granted, and I think this is a common problem. Now, how often we fail to give thanks like we ought to. How often you and I are terribly ungrateful, very quick to complain, very demanding, selfish, and extremely slow to give thanks, particularly to our God. The Bible has much to say about the believer possessing a heart attitude of thanksgiving towards God. And it is this that I'd like to consider this evening, that every day as a child of God should be a day of thanksgiving. I wish to consider this topic of thanksgiving under four headings this evening. They being the requirements of thanksgiving, the reasons for thanksgiving, the rehearsing of thanksgiving, and the results of thanksgiving. So let's commence firstly with the requirements of thanksgiving. We could open our Bible to a number of different places to consider the importance and the necessity of giving thanks to our God. For our purposes this evening, I wish to consider three verses. The first verse that I wish to consider is Psalm 92, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Psalm 92 and we will read verse 1, which says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." The text says it is a good thing to give thanks. It is appropriate. It is reasonable. This is to be a part of our lives, particularly in worship, which is the context of Psalm 92. But it is a good thing for this to be a part of our daily lives. It is appropriate for you and I to give thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a good thing for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's good because it's deserved. Our God deserves thanksgiving in light of the blessings that He bestows upon you and I, doesn't He? No, it's also beneficial for you and me. No, it's a good thing for our own hearts to express praise and thanks. And it's also a good thing for this encourages others. It encourages others to see what we are thankful for, and it encourages them to be thankful also. It is appropriate for we as believers to give thanks unto our God at all times. And may this not be something that we despise or that we ignore, but something that characterizes our daily lives. The second verse that I wish to consider is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Which says, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, that became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This particular portion of Scripture spells out the terrible consequences of man rejecting God, of suppressing the truth of God that has been revealed to all mankind. And as a result, God pours out his wrath, which includes God giving up man to their own desires. But what I want to briefly draw our attention to is what mankind did in rejecting God. Notice in this verse, it says that they didn't glorify God as God. But notice what else it was they didn't do. They weren't thankful. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a particularly interesting inclusion within this text. That it was an attitude of ungratefulness, of refusing to give thanks, that has played an important role in the degradation of mankind, and hence God's wrath being poured out. This highlights to you and I the importance of thanksgiving, and particularly how highly our God regards it and desires it. The third verse that I wish to consider is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is the verse that you probably think of when the topic of thanksgiving is raised. This verse is very instructive and yet rather difficult to put into practice, isn't it? Now, we are informed within this verse that thanksgiving is actually a command. This is not an optional extra for you and I as believers, but rather we are instructed that in every situation we are to give thanks. And just in case we do not understand the importance of this, we are informed in the second part of the verse that this is the will of God. It is God's will that in every situation, in every scenario, we give thanks. Now, I'm not sure about you, but this is not easy for me. You know, it's easy to give thanks when things are going well, but it's rather difficult when things go wrong. When life throws you a curveball, when you are faced with sickness, someone you love passes away, a loss of a job, or whatever it may be. It is then this becomes rather challenging. But I think it's helpful for us to understand that the text says give thanks in everything, not for everything. There is a big difference. You know, this isn't the case of I must be thankful that I have cancer. Thank you, God, for making me sick. But we can be joyful in this circumstance because of who our God is, because of who we are in Christ, and the fact that Jesus Christ will help us through every situation. You know, being thankful is an attitude that God requires from us. This is commanded of us. It's not an optional extra. It's the will of God that we as his people, rather than whinging, whining and complaining, being ungrateful and demanding, be thankful. And although on the surface this seems like a rather difficult instruction, when you and I realize all that God has done and has provided for us, this demand becomes a whole lot easier. And it's this that I wish to consider secondly, some reasons for thanksgiving. I think we as believers often fail to realize or fail to remember how blessed and privileged we truly are. Now, we neglect what the songwriter wrote and fail to count our blessings and name them one by one. We must understand that it is this choice to focus on what we have that is of vital importance in possessing this attribute of thanksgiving. I wish to share with you very quickly 10 unchangeable realities that ought to produce thanksgiving. Number one, the character of God. How important it is that we know and understand who our God is. This is particularly important in the areas of sovereignty, omniscience, and the fact that He loves us in order to help us to be thankful in every situation. If we can come to grips with the fact of who our God is, the fact that He is in control, He knows best, and that He loves us, He has a perfect plan for us, all truths which are taught in the Word of God, then we are well on the way to be able to give thanks in every situation. Now, when we know and understand who our God is, we will always have something to give thanks about. The second reason is Christ. Now, many sermons could be preached on this, and I've just got one paragraph. Jesus Christ took upon Himself human flesh. He came to earth, He suffered, He bled and died to purchase our redemption, to die in our place, to save us from our sins, to save us from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ saved undeserving sinners like you and me. And now, as a result of our salvation, look at the many glorious blessings and privileges that are now ours. When we consider this, how can we not give thanks that you and me, as depraved, hell-bound sinners, have been miraculously saved? We are now one with Christ, sons of God, joint heirs, and on our way to heaven. There are many glorious privileges that we should be thankful for. And the third reason is the Comforter. As believers, we take a lot of things for granted. And one of those things is the fact that we actually have the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us. The Spirit just doesn't do His work in conviction and regeneration at salvation and then leave us to ourselves. But rather, this is only the beginning of His work. And now the Spirit is at work within each and every one of us, instructing, illuminating, comforting, guiding, correcting. The possession and work of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful privilege for all the redeemed. The fourth reason is the canon of Scripture. God has revealed Himself to us within the Holy Scriptures. We can actually know Him intimately and personally, and this is a wonderful blessing. Consider all the wonderful truths and realities that are laid out within the Bible that we would not know if God had not told us. God's complete revelation should be something that we cherish and thank Him for. Number five is creation. Now, I don't think I have to convince anyone here this evening of the beauty or the glory of creation. Look around us. We are continually reminded as we look around that creation does indeed declare the glory of God. And we have been created to live in, have dominion over, and enjoy the wonders of creation. We all have certain parts of creation that we find particularly enjoyable. And as we gaze upon this, how can anything else but praise and thanksgiving be forthcoming? Consider the birds that sing, the flowers that bloom, the waves that crash, the glorious sunsets, the towering mountains, the flowing fountains. All of these are the wonders of creation that we can give thanks for. Number six is the commitments of God. One of the most amazing studies that one can undertake in the Word of God is the promises of God. In the words of the Apostle Peter, we have been given many exceedingly great and precious promises, and it's our responsibility to know these promises and to claim them as our own. God makes hundreds of promises throughout the Word of God, And it's these that should drive us to our knees in thanksgiving. But let me mention just three. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. There is nothing in this world can separate us from God's love. Number two, Jesus Christ promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I don't know about you, but that is a great comfort. No matter what happens in this life, Christ has promised He will never forsake us. And number three, within the book of Romans, those whom He justified, them He will also glorify. We are saved and our glorification is secure. And we could go on and on with promises. But we must know these promises, meditate on these promises, and thanksgiving will flow. The seventh reason is coming certainties. Included within the promises of God is what we have in store for us. The Bible has much to say about the future hope of the believer. The fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. That believers will receive glorified bodies. We will finally be free from sin. We will spend eternity worshipping our Savior in heaven. We will sing with the angels, "Worthy is the Lamb." And my friend, if these things don't get you excited and produce at least some form of thanksgiving, then I'm not sure anything will. The eighth reason is God's corporeal care. Now, our Father promises to provide our physical needs. Now, Matthew chapter 6 makes this more than clear. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, God will always take care of our needs. And hence we ought to give thanks for this reality. Now, give thanks for the roof over your head, for the warm bed that you sleep in, for the clothes on your back, for the food on the table. Now, these are all things that God provides, and we ought to give thanks. The ninth reason is companionship. Now, God has created us as creatures that have the ability to experience and to give companionship. You and I have been created as relational creatures, and this is a wonderful blessing. Now, great joy can be experienced from human relationships, from marriage, from friendships. And this, my friend, is a gift from God. And we should especially cherish this because since we are relational creatures, we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the ability to experience loving relationships, both humanly and heavenly, is a wonderful privilege that we should be thankful for. And the tenth reason and last reason is that of communication. Now, we have been given the ability to communicate, which is a wonderful gift, isn't it? Imagine life without it. In light of the ability to communicate, it means that you and I can communicate with God. Whenever we desire, wherever we may be, as believers, we can come into the presence of God and boldly offer our prayers unto Him. And what a wonderful privilege prayer truly is. The ability to communicate with God is a wonderful gift, certainly worthy of thanksgiving. Now, I trust from the above reasons that I have offered, which, by the way, is definitely not exhaustive. Perhaps I could think of another 10 C's, I don't know. But the point that I want to get across is we have much to give thanks for. Now, we must realize this, come to grips with this. And what is wonderful about all of the reasons that I have listed is that they will not change. They will not cease to exist, no matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We have every reason to render praise and thanksgiving unto our God each and every day. This, my friend, is our reasonable service. Every day should be thanksgiving. In understanding the requirement of thanksgiving, and the fact that we have every reason to do so, how is it that we express thanksgiving to God. Thirdly, I wish to consider the rehearsing of thanksgiving. It is important that we know how to render this thanksgiving. Now, it would be poor on my part if I told you it was necessary, yet failed to tell you how to do it. I wish to share with you four practical ways that we can express our thanksgiving to God. Number one, the most obvious, is prayer. Our prayer should include much thanksgiving. This is us letting our God know that we are indeed thankful for all that He has done and is doing for us. Now, this is a very important part of prayer. The Bible says much of this aspect of prayer. Yet how often this is a part of prayer that we fail in. Now, how often our prayers are just a list of things we need or we want, and we fail to give the adoration and thanksgiving that is due to our God. You know, praying is the primary means of giving thanks to our God. May we not neglect it. Now, number two is public proclamation. For the third time today, Psalm 89 verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now, we are to openly and publicly speak of God's goodness. Tell those around us about what God has done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He will do for us. You and I must not shy away from verbally declaring our thanksgiving. Now, this shouldn't be something that's just restricted to our own private prayers, but this should be included in our public prayers and in our day-to-day conversations. We should not be afraid to tell the world how thankful we are for what God has done for us. Number three, the third way we practice this is by singing. There are many verses within the Word of God that link singing and thankfulness. Let me give you one. Psalm 69 verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Singing unto God is a means of expressing our thanksgiving. This is why singing is such an important part in the life of the believer, particularly within our worship in the church. Now, when we sing, it's a way of rendering praise and thanksgiving to God, for declaring our thankfulness to Him for all that He has done. And hence, when we sing at church, it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like, mine's not great, but sing with all your heart, sing with all your might, sing with gusto, for we are giving thanks. You know, singing is an important instrument in rendering thanksgiving, and we should never shy away from it. Number four is submissive surrender. In order to express true thanksgiving to God, we must be obedient. If you and I were to give someone $1,000 and they turn around and are rude, unfriendly, unkind, we would correctly assume that they were not thankful for our gift. And this same principle applies. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this idea applies to thanksgiving. If we are thankful for all that God has done, we will be striving to live the way that He wants us to live. This is a sure sign of thankfulness. Our actions are a mark of our true appreciation. So this is how we do it. And if we do it, the benefits are many. And this is the fourth and last point. I wish to consider some results of thanksgiving. Although this last list is far from exhaustive, I wish to give you four benefits of being thankful. So number one, it helps with worry and anxiety. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I'll give this a detailed exegesis next year, but for now, let me say this. The first phrase in this verse, "be careful for nothing," is speaking of worry and anxiety. And this is a very serious thing, a crippling thing. And what I want to draw our attention to is that the Apostle Paul in this verse instructs the believer to pray, make their requests, concerns, and heartaches made known unto God with thanksgiving. And this will help with anxiety and worry, because the peace of God will be given to you according to verse 7. Now, giving constant thanks to God helps to fight off anxiety and worry. The second result is it helps to overcome certain sins. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 says this: "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be at once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Within these two verses, some very serious sins are listed. And these are sins that are struggles for the believer. But what it is I wish to draw your attention to is at the end of the verse it says, "but rather giving of thanks." Instead of being involved in these gross behaviors, give thanks instead. Implying that the constant habit of rendering thanks unto God will help us in overcoming these certain sins. The idea of putting off and putting on thanksgiving instead. Number three, thanksgiving brings joy. If we are in a constant habit of giving thanks unto God, one of the fruits of this will be joy. If we remember before, we considered a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we were instructed to give thanks in everything. Two verses before that, we are instructed to rejoice evermore. And these two verses are linked. Without the giving thanks, this joy will not be forthcoming. One of the primary reasons why joy is often lacking is because constant thanksgiving is neglected. And number four, the last subpoint, it helps us in our relationships. If you and I fail to give thanks to God, how are we going to be thankful in our human relationships? God is perfect. God does all things good, all things well. But one's husband, one's wife is not like this. Neither is one's children or one's parents, one's friends or one's boss. If you and I are not thankful towards God who is perfect, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for you and I to be thankful, grateful, and content within our human relationships. Whereas if we are constantly giving thanks to God, we will realize that the relationships we are in have been given by Him, and hence thanksgiving, contentment, and gratefulness will be much more likely to be forthcoming, and hence lead to a happier and healthier relationship. Now, beloved, we must understand that giving thanks to God is of utmost importance. And we have every reason to do so, don't we? But are we doing it? Now, we as the redeemed should be the most thankful people on this planet. Each and every day, no matter the situation, we should be giving thanks to our God. And not murmuring and complaining, suffering from discontentment, but rather filled with thanksgiving, for this is our reasonable service. Every day for the believer should be thanksgiving, not just the fourth Thursday of November, but is this happening in your life? Is every day thanksgiving?